Welcome to the Limitless Energy Podcast. It is my extreme pleasure today to welcome Lucas Scherer and Lucas Lutz, both founders of Sphere Energy. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You guys traveled a long way to be here, right? From Switzerland? Exactly. From Germany?
Yeah, we flew in from Switzerland yesterday.
Okay, so let's talk about Sphere Energy. Because Sphere Energy is in a very interesting position in the lithium battery industry. It's kind of a testing center, testing analysis center, where you can analyze basically all kinds of technologies that are being developed around the world.
Yep.
Exactly.
So, first of all, I want to know how it got started. What are your backgrounds, and how did you come up with the idea to start Sphere Energy?
You want to get us started?
Sure. Yeah. We both studied chemistry, and that's where we met each other in Zurich. We both followed somewhat slightly different career paths. I did my PhD in battery science then, and we always had the feeling that the battery is going to be play an important role in the energy transition. This was already back in 2015-16. And we were always thinking, what is our position in this market? And we believe truly that we can support the entire industry in bringing new batteries to the market and into new products.
So you graduated 2015, 2016? That's when you started thinking about this?
18, we graduated, exactly.
Oh, okay. So you were at Zurich at the time when you were first considering this.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. And then during our studies, we developed some new test equipment for solid-state batteries back then, which we still have in our offices in Paris. Mm-hmm. That's where it all got started. And always the idea was, how do we get as much information and data out of a battery test as possible?
Because why did you focus on solid-state back then?
I mean, it was part of my PhD back then to work on next-generation battery technology. It was still in its early infancies. There were also some crazy stuff like sodium air, lithium air batteries still mm-hmm. around. Mm-hmm. And we just saw that these new technologies needed different ways to test and approach testing more than just testing a coin cell. There are so many more parameters that you can on one side control during a test, for example, pressure, temperature, volume expansion. And we thought that there needs to be a tool for researchers to better understand and better test and generate more insightful data out of a battery test.
So were you developing equipment or protocols primarily?
We started with developing equipment for R&D. So fundamental academic R&D, focusing on solid-state battery materials, but also industrial R&D.
When you say solid-state, was it all kinds of solid-state, or polymer, or ceramic, or which?
Really all kinds of solid-state electrolytes.
Okay, so what was it about the solid-state that was necessary for you to develop something that was unique for testing?
I mean, first of all, when you look at these technologies, especially in low TRL levels, when you come, our focus back then was R&D labs, you often start with powders. Mm-hmm. You don't have casted electrodes, so you start with powder. So you need to find a way to have a container or a compartment where you can in situ generate your cell stack and then measure it at the same time. Because if you generate your cell stack in one compartment and transfer it to another, you generate so many cracks and deformities within your stack that the test results will not be relevant anymore. So you needed to have a container and a compartment where you can A, assemble your stack, and B, test your battery in the mm-hmm. end. And on top of that, you needed to have control over the stacking pressure during the assembly process, because that's exactly, especially for solid state batteries, extremely important, right? You need to densify your anode, your cathode, but also most importantly, your solid electrolyte layer. And then you need to apply for most of the systems a certain stack pressure during cycling. And you need to monitor and understand the volumetric expansion during cycling, right? Is it a normal breathing? Is it a detrimental swelling that's happening there? So all these back in the days, this was really tough for researchers to test and analyze. And we thought we come up, this was during the PhD time, we come up with a tool that helps to accelerate our research. And we wanted to make it available through a small company to a greater greater amount of people, right? Other research labs at an affordable price. That was the original idea back then.
So if you graduated in 2018 with your PhD, what were you doing, Luca?
That's a good question. No, I was working in management consulting. So we started, finished the master's in chemistry together in Zurich. Mm-hmm. I had a combined master with business, so business and chemistry, and then spent 7 and a bit years in management consulting, focusing on mainly data projects, data strategies for chemical companies and pharma companies.
That's a great partnership, actually. So when did Sphere start?
The idea was ignited in 2015. Actually, so we were, as Lucas mentioned,
students,
and already visionary, and wanted to create new approaches again to disrupt and revolutionize the whole battery testing and battery science, if you will, and then officially founded the company in 2018.
Okay,
that was back then a spin-off of the Collège de France in Paris. Mm-hmm. And we started selling our first product in 18.
What was your product?
Test equipment for battery materials, solid state.
So you were selling equipment. Yeah. You weren't selling
really
service.
And it was really a weekend kind of company, right? We did this. We had our day jobs during the week, and on the weekend we were further developing these products,
patenting
them. Kind of in the garage, yeah.
It still feels like a garage in Paris, yeah.
No, but I think what the basic idea behind that was always that we need to understand the fundamental chemistry behind something to understand its impact on the application later on. Mm-hmm. And I think this still is valid for the company today. We have moved quite significantly during the years and developed with the market that back then was still in its infancies. I remember back in 2018 that Bosch decided the battery market is lost to the Chinese and we are never going to...
They had acquired CO.
CO, exactly, for I think 90 million, which turned out to be not such a good purchase in the end.
Polymer electrolyte.
Exactly.
Yeah. So by that time they divested, I guess.
Yes. Okay. And they really said that the battery is something they will not engage in. So the market was kind of like, at least in Europe, going down a little bit, but we still believe that understanding the fundamental chemistry and being close to the market is something really important to understand the impact on the applications and products later on.
And this understanding, or this deep understanding of the cell technology, still is at the heart of everything we do.
So you mentioned the Bosch acquisition of CO, and then there was the Dyson acquisition of SACD3.
Exactly.
Solid state batteries were not successful, but you were focused on that.
I mean, we were focused on not the solids. I mean, the solid state chemistry was surely the application, but we were focused on material science and giving basically researchers a tool to do proper material science.
So at what point did you really expand to conventional cells and become a bigger player in the overall industry?
That was back in 2022. So end of 21 and beginning of 22. We started our battery technology center close to Augsburg. Where we really started testing, analyzing, validating commercial cells. So not just materials, but also cells, and as a service and not as a product.
And how did you garner business? I mean, I imagine you were not far from the garage, as you noted, and exactly. Now you're sort of talking to much larger companies and you're trying to attract a unique product that's relatively new in the industry, right?
It was actually surprising how fast that went, because we were told in the beginning, until you have a supplier number with a large OEM, that will take you years, or you have all these certifications that you have to go through, and obviously all the things that come with it. But we were surprised how fast that went and how different often the R&D departments or the battery departments are in these companies. I think they still think a little bit different and act a little bit different than the other departments in such large corporations. And then it was just like, I mean, we had good connections through our R&D activities, and then we just expanded on that. And we saw, I mean, we built this because we saw the market moving from early TRL levels, early stages, to okay, now the cell is really becoming something important. People need it. People acknowledge the battery also as a big technological transformer. And that's why we decided also to move from pure R&D applications and test equipment to building really a battery technology center where we harness and collect all the different inputs and knowledge around the cell that we can then leverage to help the entire industry build battery-powered products.
Are your customers mainly in Europe and North America? Or do you have Chinese customers as well?
Yeah, our focus definitely is Europe and the US. That's definitely our focus markets.
Okay.
And from cell manufacturing over automotive OEMs, power toolers, energy storage system, grid system providers, but also software and analytics providers. Everyone who needs good quality cell data and cell know-how.
Well, right now we're in a position where 95% of the cells globally are coming from China, and Europe and North America are desperately trying to change that. I imagine that your role is pretty big in that. Do you see yourselves as accelerating the ability of the Western countries to try to catch up?
For sure. I think this is a big mission of Sphere Energy, really to accelerate the know-how and accelerate the battery expertise in Europe and the US, so in the West. I think this is a big mission. I don't think we have achieved our mission yet, but we are trying our very best. And the way we are trying to, or let's say the approach by which we want to do that, is really through new tools, data-driven, AI-driven tools to really multiply battery know-how. That's kind of our underlying approach, how we want to achieve this mission.
I don't think you've achieved it either. That's a lot of pressure on you to have to, you know, to achieve that mission. But what's the prognosis? How close are we?
Yeah, I mean, when we look at the market size that's ahead of us around the battery, it's one of the biggest and fastest growing markets. But I think where we as a society, especially in the West, still lagging behind is that harvest the value that's being generated in that market, right? As you mentioned, as you pointed out, it's mainly Chinese or Asian suppliers for battery cells right now. And there's different approaches of how to generate value within this market. One is obviously cell manufacturing and cell production. The other one is the integration in such in battery packs, right? Mm-hmm. This is the second level along that line. The third one is then building battery-powered products. And the fourth is more digital services around battery-powered products. And I think this, along this value chain, on a very high-level value chain, we need to become better in Europe and the US to tackle this value creation.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a very, very important part of our energy future, and the way that we generate and use energy is evolving rapidly in North America and in Europe, and actually globally for that matter. So it's a very noble cause, and I think that you are very much playing a central role in this. I mean, I don't say it lightly. We, as a company, Dragonfly, works with you, and the work that you're doing for us is critical for us to understand where we fit in the overall landscape. So you actually have some very unique knowledge of the entire landscape. I imagine you possess a lot of confidential information between the two of you. Without divulging anything, can you tell me how that feels in terms of being in that position in the industry, and how you think you can affect the change that you're trying to affect using that knowledge?
Yeah, I think we also don't take this lightly. I think for us it's a great honor to talk in such detail as together with your tech team and together with your strategic teams, understanding the individual challenges of the different players in the market. And we see our mission in not only helping them overcome these challenges, but also creating a network amongst them. Because we have a lot of contacts and a big network in this field, and we truly believe that not only within Europe or within the US, it's important to interconnect players, but we truly believe that the West needs to work together here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when we look at what's happening with the IRA right now, and probably the counter proposal by the European Union that's coming up pretty soon, we believe that when we combine our forces, the know-how that we have on the fundamental R&D side in the universities, but also companies like Dragonfly that have already deployed so many packs in the field and understand how customers tick, how customers use the batteries, which is an immense knowledge that we need to understand to build better batteries and batteries that fit from a product price perspective. I think we really see our role here not only helping the individual challenges with our knowledge, but also to interconnect people and build a community around the battery field that helps us in the West to harvest more value along this battery value chain.
Mm-hmm. How do you see Sphere Energy growing, if at all, away from lithium ion? There's other energy storage technologies and just in general in terms of energy technology.
You mean on a cell level, on a technology level, or in general?
In terms of offering the services that you offer, developing testing equipment, doing analyses and stuff, there's not just lithium ion batteries, there are other storage technologies, because for instance for us, you've done a cost analysis. Yep. You can do cost analyses for all kinds of different industries, let alone different storage technologies.
So first, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are trying to be technology agnostic. So everything we do can be applied to different technologies. But I think at the heart of everything we do, if it now is a LCA or cost analysis, I think the key of our value proposition still is the hands-on understanding of the battery, right? So, and by that I mean that we understand how a cell behaves, how new technologies, new chemistries behave under different conditions, which help us to better understand the big picture and to better understand the cost aspect and sustainability aspect. So to answer your question, Dennis, I think we try to really grow with the technology and remain technology agnostic.
Because mm-hmm. ultimately, it's a question of levelized cost and how you can compare the cost of whatever technology you use to burning fossil fuels.
Exactly.
That's the goal, right? So it's not.
And I think part of our work is also to help people understand or navigate this chaos of new technologies that are within the energy storage space, right? Literally every year there's a new technology coming along and old technologies being cooked up. I just read that and the Argonne National Lab, I think, is now pushing the lithium air technology again. And part of our mission is also to help CTOs help companies understand where do we stand with each of these technologies, what are the promises, what are the challenges, what are the upsides, what are the risks related to each of these energy storage technologies, and it's more importantly, what technology makes sense for the individual use case.
And so, I think Dragonfly here is in a great position, right? I mean, you gave us a great compliment. I want to give this back, right? We've been at your R&D labs this morning. It really feels like your capabilities are flexible enough to accelerate and to also fit different technologies. And I think that's the phase we are in, or the market is in right now, right? It's a lot about knowledge gaining, data collection, so that when a technology is having a breakthrough or certain decisions are being taken by OEMs or others, that we as technology providers or you as technology providers are ready for that. So I think remaining as flexible as possible and collecting as much know-how as possible is the right strategic decision.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, Luca. And that is a sentiment that's difficult to convey, for example, to investors, you know, just as it's one thing that I found going through this over the last decade, because I started this company a decade ago now, well, actually 12 years ago now almost, is that American investors in particular have a lot of difficulty in vetting technology, storage technology or otherwise. They're so used to gaining great returns from software, apps, websites, and that sort of thing that there has been a tremendous lack of, I would say, ability in evaluation of hard tech. Mm-hmm. Is that the case in Europe as well?
Pretty much so. Yes. I mean, especially the in the battery industry is, and we have seen that with you mentioned two examples of Sakit and CEO before. Mm. that it's also, it was easy to fool investors in that space, right? I mean, the question is really, how do you properly evaluate a cell, a battery technology that's not at an A-sample level? And I think that's exactly where investors struggle, and that's where our services come into play as well. Again, understanding and doing a technical due diligence of properly analyzing which stage are various companies and what's the potential that is at hand, what are the challenges when upscaling something. But as you mentioned, in for investors, complex stories in general are hard to grasp, right? They want easy stories that are easy to understand. B2C stories are often more easy than B2B stories, especially if they're heavy high tech or heavy material science. For them, I think now we're in a phase where the first battery hype is coming down a little bit, when we saw all these large evaluations of battery companies in the past, especially of American solid-state companies, right? I think that has come down a little bit, and now it's a more realistic approach in understanding different technologies and understanding where the challenges lie in these individual technologies.
I think that highlights the importance of what you're doing, because what you are doing is providing very clear methodologies and data that investors can use to make better determinations. And because of, I would say, decrease in interest in some of these new battery technologies, it has become harder to get attention. Yeah. You know, if you are doing, you know, novel technologies. So,
but it's important to gain that traction back, because the battery technology is so essential for the energy transition that we have ahead of us on all levels. And I think your approach in changing not only the traction batteries but also batteries in recreational vehicles or the batteries for the cabins in the trucks is, an as you mentioned earlier, low-hanging fruit that we need to harvest right now to shut down unnecessary motor runs overnight of the truck drivers that are wasting fuel, that are burning fuel and into converting it into CO2. I think that's stuff that investors not even have on their radar, and I think it's really important what you guys are doing there, and we need to educate the market together that there is, besides all that big hype stories, there is real stuff that is being done now on the ground and that helps this energy transition to move forward.
Indeed, yeah. And also educate the market that there are different business models that work, right, and then can work. Maybe that leads to the question. You have now, with your technology and with your processes, developed a foundation for so many different business models. Maybe a question to you. If you want to share some of your strategic choices, I mean, from developing cells, right, from developing new technologies, solid state batteries, to maybe becoming a technology licensing company. Mm-hmm. You have so many different, again, flexibilities to unlock this value. Do you want to share some of your strategic thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, historically, I have not been successful at getting a lot of government attention or investment. You know, we did become a public company in very difficult times last year, but I've never gotten a dime from the government. I made a career as a professor before I did this in getting government grants, so I knew how to do it. Mm-hmm. But when I came into this field, I don't know if it was just so crowded or what, or maybe what I was doing, I like to think what I was doing was just too far ahead of its time, that I was not successful at getting attention from the federal or state government to get any sort of grants at all. And so, therefore, the focus on low-hanging fruit, like RV batteries, where, you know, people hate their lead-acid batteries, let's make a lithium battery and educate the consumer as to why this is better. That was really successful, and that drove a profitable company. So that, you're right, that sort of approach gave me some flexibility as to what we are able to do and how we are able to grow. And I think moving forward, that philosophy is going to continue. Mm-hmm. We want to make an impact. Ultimately, that's what we're trying to do. And if the quickest way to do that is through licensing opportunities, we're on board. If the quickest way to do it is to actually build out you know, the first few gigawatt hours of production, we're going to do that. You know, if it is strategic partnerships with interested parties, we're 100% on board with that as well. So we really have everything on the table at the moment. And I think that does, as you note, create a lot of flexibility for us. And I'm not going to sit here and say I have a direct, you know, path to making a gigantic impact, other than to say we have so much on the table that we're going to consider all of it seriously.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and appreciate it. And we can definitely relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and traveling all this way. I'm going to assume that you came from Switzerland just to be on this podcast.
Of course.
And
talk to your amazing team, of course.
I really do appreciate you taking the time with our team and looking forward to showing you around some more tomorrow. Luca Schirra and Lucas Lutz, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
Thank you for listening to the Limitless Energy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on any of your favorite podcast platforms.